armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Try
to
stay
in the pump. Really, this
you
is what you're doing?
Idea.
This is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station. The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Hi, I'm Mac McGinn. I don't know much, but I know one thing. Baseball is back. No more pretending like we watch the NBA. Let's get it!
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American man.
Howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Hope you are having an outstanding Friday, Football Friday. We're going to talk a little football. We're going to talk a little bit of everything on a Football Friday when you're at the tail end of February. It's hard to just focus on football, but we are going to make sure that we do get some football talk in here for you. We got news about the college football playoffs. We've got Rick Pitino questions. We've got Pac-12 questions. We've got what the hell happened in the Daytona 500. Going to hit that. And we are going to look at a couple of other things as well as talk about a new show that we'll be having coming in the near future. So a little bit of college football talk on that one. But before we get into all that, I know it's been several days since the race, but we cover so much baseball. I just want to hit something up here. What in the hell? How in the hell? Who in the hell told NASCAR it was okay to let, everyone talks about that as their Super Bowl, right? This is their Super Bowl. The Super Bowl of racing. And don't get me wrong, it's still a great spectacle. If you have a chance to go to one of these races, great. Go do it. But to sit at home, first of all, you had a rain out from the day before. But to sit at home and wait for the championship, the Daytona 500, though I know this isn't the actual championship, the points championship, that comes later in the year, and I get all of that, but this is still looked upon. For people who don't follow NASCAR, for all intents and purposes, it's Daytona 500. It is NASCAR's Masters. And it means something to win it. Not just because of the money prize, but it means something. It's something that all these guys and gals that have been racing for years and years and years and years aspire to. And year after year, time after time, this race ends in caution. It happened very recently because I remember talking about it on this very show about how we were fed up with it. And then it happens again. I thought they were going to address it, but evidently not. So they're okay with essentially what's going on. For people who have never paid attention to NASCAR, it is equivalent of you get late in the fourth quarter and the opposing team gets into a little bit of foul trouble. And let's say one of their guys gets fouled out. And you say, you know what? We'll just go with NBA. Hawks and Hawks and Magic are playing in the playoffs. and it's a big game, and they say, you know what? The Magic are up by 12. There's 2 minutes left. You're probably not going to win, and one of your best players just fouled out. You know what? It's enough already. We're just going to call it a W. Or it's the equivalent of, if you're talking about football, it would be the equivalent of late in the ball game. Team has the ball. They are up by one with about 3 minutes left. And there's a little bit of there's an injury timeout. And they come out and they say, you know what? The team with the ball, they're up by a point. There's 3 minutes left. You only have one timeout left. It's enough already. You get the win. You win the playoff game. You win the Super Bowl. Or a baseball game that says, all right, look, we're heading into the 14th inning, and we know that no one has won the game yet, but you do have a man on third with nobody out, so it's good enough. We'll go ahead and give you the W. It's the same junk. It's the same junk, and this is why more and more people are not watching. I mean, it's one of many reasons why the viewership for NASCAR has fallen off a cliff. But it's why you can't get the younger crowd to watch it, because they look at you and then go, wait, what? It's over? You should absolutely have to go green, white, checkered for Daytona 500. If you want to pull this nonsense in the middle of the year in a race, you name the track. I don't care. But the Daytona 500 should not end in a caution, and it did. So there you have that. Now, that'll probably be the last time we talk about NASCAR the rest of the year, because I've lost all interest. Let's move on to real sports. Okay, get that off the docket. And then, you know, the next thing, this has nothing to do with sports. But I was looking at the nominations for Best Picture and Best Actor and blah, blah, blah as the Oscars are coming up. And a lot of these movies have one thing in common. They are too damn long. Why in the world does every movie have to be 3 hours nowadays? We have shorter attention spans and you're making the movies longer. It has to. I've never gotten into the science of it, but it's got to have something to do with streaming. It has to have something to do with that. The time that people are streaming your movie. And I'm not talking about going to the traditional movie theater. I'm talking about so many people are consuming it now at home on Netflix or wherever you're picking up, Apple, wherever. It has to have something to do with that. The Flower Moon movie that took 3.5 weeks. Me and my wife took 3.5 weeks to watch that damn thing because it was over 3 hours long, and you can't commit 3.5 hours to a movie. You got this thing called life. Same thing with Oppenheimer, and there was a couple of others that all of them have turned into sagas. That's not a movie. That's a series. Turn it to a miniseries, and away we go. I haven't seen it laid out, but that's got to be what it is. It's got to be the fact that you're getting extra points, money, credits, however you want to word it, for the length of your movie. And so if you have 1 million people watch a 3-hour movie, it's worth to you much more money than if they are watching a 2.5-hour movie or a 2-hour movie. It's the only thing that makes sense. I miss the times where you paid your money to get into a theater and they didn't give a crap how long it was because they already got your money and they were there to entertain you. And then you wonder why people don't go to the movies as much. It's not just because all the other obvious stuff. So who the hell wants to sit in a movie theater for 3.5 hours? Anyways, that's my breakdown of the Oscars. The movies are too damn long. Who cares? That's the breakdown. A couple of minor things that have happened over the last few days. Liam Hendricks goes to the Red Sox. For people who are wondering, that's a big deal. It is not. Liam Hendricks is not expected to pitch at all this year. They hope to have him back next year, since a 2-year $10 million deal. He had Tommy John surgery. So essentially the Red Sox are banking on him coming back for them next year. And it makes sense on the fact that next year, Kenley Jansen will be packing, and it could possibly spell a closer for the Boston Red Sox in 2025. But as far as it being a big deal, it is not a big deal. Not for this year. And if you are a Boston Red Sox fan, you've got to be irate. You've got to be irate. It is unreal. As far as baseball goes, we did get the first game on Thursday. Dodgers blew out the Padres 14-1, if you missed it. Dodgers put like eight or ten runs in the first inning. I watched it. After that first inning, it was more like background noise. But I was really more just interested to see baseball on TV, so I had it on in the background. You're not going to learn a lot from these games, especially if you don't follow San Diego or the Dodgers. You don't care about their positional battles. But when it comes to the Braves, who start on Saturday, that will be a lot of fun. Now, our first broadcast will be Wednesday. 105 First Pitch will come on for the pregame show at 12:45, and we will give you pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves versus the Phillies, spring training baseball. Find us on Braves Country Radio today. If you miss it on outlets like WQEE and other radio stations around the land that are carrying Braves Country Radio, we will have the replay condensed for you the next day. And you can look forward to that going forward. Is that if we have a ball game in the spring, we're going to condense it down, maybe break it up over a couple of days to give you some baseball content. Because unfortunately, Braves baseball is not being broadcasted routinely on a daily basis. Like there were a couple of years where they were doing it a lot, but they are not doing that so on the spring training games. Now, come regular season, Braves will be at it, and we'll be broadcasting them every day as well. We'll be broadcasting them live, and if you don't get them, don't worry. The next day, they will be right here on Braves Country Radio, 3 to 5 p.m., wherever you listen to us. It will also be available on our YouTube channel live. You can also go back and listen to it. And, of course, we'll put together something for the Spotify and all the other podcast outlets. Sorry, I always reference Spotify because it's the one that I use Spotify and YouTube personally more than anything else. So those are the two that I always think of. But we are on Apple and a few other outlets, but those are the ones I always think of. Just look for Braves Country Radio. Okay, as far as going into Friday, there are a handful of games. You're only getting a few that are being broadcasted on Friday. If you've got the MLB package, you'll notice Cubs and White Sox. Red Sox are playing a college team. I believe it's Connecticut. It says the Huskies. I'm not 100% sure if that's the UConn Huskies. Not interested enough to do that deep dive, so look it up for yourself. But they are playing the Huskies, and I'm pretty sure, because they have played them in the past, would be UConn. But as far as Major League Baseball, spring training, White Sox and Cubs are on this afternoon. Dodgers and Padres are back on it this afternoon. And Diamondbacks and Rockies. But the Braves begin their spring training on Saturday, and neither one of the outlets, neither Tampa Bay or Atlanta, are broadcasting it. So, and you know, this is when I saw we were starting the season off with Tampa Bay, I hung my head, because I know what's going to happen. Atlanta will televise maybe three games, four at the most, if you're really lucky, five all spring long. And Tampa Bay does even less. Tampa Bay Rays, which is really moronic considering the fact that the Tampa Bay Rays are in Florida, so all their equipment, all they have to do is shoot it over to the field and let's go. But that's not what they do. And I get it. It's because they don't have a big fan base. But you're not going to build that fan base by electing to not broadcast anything. So as soon as I saw that, I knew that there was no way. Anytime I see Tampa Bay versus Atlanta in the spring training, until we get to the end of it, there's not a very good chance that that's going to be on. So just to give you a real quick update, we have added some ball games to our broadcast schedule, and real quick hit you up with them. We are starting Wednesday with the Phillies on February 28th. We're coming on for all these games at 12:45 for a pregame 105 first pitch. All of them are exactly the same. As far as outside of that, a couple days later, Saturday, March 2nd, Blue Jays. Thursday, March 7th, the Red Sox. These are Braves versus Blue Jays, Braves versus Red Sox, Braves versus Phillies. Then on March 10th, it's a Sunday. It's the only Sunday game we're doing this spring. They're playing the New York Yankees. On the 16th, we are assuming this thing is going to be streamed somewhere. As of right now, it has not been announced. But Red Sox, Braves, it is the spring breakout game. So we're planning on doing it and hopefully find a way to get it out there to you. But this is the breakout game. This is the game where the Braves and the Red Sox and everyone else in Major League Baseball, in a three-day span, they're all going to play one game apiece where they're going to put their top prospects out there. So looking forward to that one. And then the following week, we are looking at Braves versus Yankees on the 21st, and then the last one will be Braves versus, look out, Tampa Bay Rays. And ironically, both of them are streaming it that day. I've already checked it. March 23rd, that'll be our last one. There was one other one that was available to do on that following Monday. Problem is, I won't get back to the studio until about the seventh inning. And I learned this from last year. When you do these games, these spring training games, and you get to those last couple of games, nobody's playing. Nobody of any worth. And when you're talking about jumping in a game in the seventh inning, nobody's going to be in those games. So they're already going to be packing and heading north towards Philadelphia this year, as that's where opening day will be on the 28th. We are also going to do the Dodgers and Padres series, the opening series of Major League Baseball. That is March 20th and 21st, 6 a.m. in Seoul, Korea. So on the 21st, we're actually doing a doubleheader. We're doing the live, real game of Dodgers-Padres. And then a few hours later, after that one ends, we're doing the live spring training game of Braves-Yankees. So first time that I will have done a doubleheader that early in the day. So, look out. All right, let's go ahead and get into a couple of the big topics at hand. You see this thing with Rick Pitino, where he is complaining about how bad his team is and a miserable experience. And he dragged him. And he was talking about how miserable it was to coach this team, even comparing it to back when he was with the Celtics. And the Celtics, that's a bad thing, because he was a terrible NBA coach. I know, because I'm a Celtics fan. And he was dragging them, saying that it was worse than that experience, because the main reason being that there's lack of effort, there's lack of this, lack of that, yada, yada, yada. And the only thing I can say for that is, you know, first of all, you're the coach. I was wondering about this. I didn't touch the game, but I was curious about it. The next game was played Wednesday night. St. John's went to Georgetown. Georgetown's horrible this year. But that is still a rivalry. As far as college basketball is concerned, it's one of the great rivalries of all time. Problem is, neither one of them are worth a damn anymore, so it's lost its luster. But back in the day, boys and girls, if you were around the 1980s, hell, if you were around the 1970s watching college basketball, St. John's Georgetown was Stop What You're Doing TV. Not must-see TV, you must get the hell out of my way TV, because we couldn't record anything and we had to see it live, and God dog it, someone get some aluminum foil because we're trying to get the rabbit ears coming a little clearer. That was great TV. That was great basketball. Nowadays, not so much. St. John's did win the game, but what I was most curious about is whether or not St. John's, whether the players were going to quit on them. Now, they didn't, but they also barely beat Georgetown, a fairly very subpar college basketball team. They ended up beating them by 5. Rick Pitino, my question is, will he make it? I saw one of the so-called experts back in November predicting that not this year, but by next season, Rick Pitino would have St. John's in the Final Four. I'm starting to wonder if Rick Pitino will be the head coach by this time next year, because he's the old man who's not willing to bend with the new rules. I've always wondered with the older coaches, and Pitino's about as long a tooth as you can get. He's been out of the game for a few years. He comes back to the NIL, and I think he thought it was going to be easy, and it's not. He brought guys in, and he thought he was going to just be able to stock and load and let's go, and it's not. And I think it's also a reason why you're eventually going to see more and more college guys. We've already seen it. We've already seen it this year in college football, where there are guys that are taking lesser jobs in the NFL, meaning coordinators going to be position coaches, head coaches going to be position coaches in the NFL, or they are leaving their very small school because they're in the last year of their deal to go be a position coach at a Power 5. Well, we don't have Power 5 anymore. Power 4. It's about to be Power 2. Florida State leaves the ACC. Good night, Irene. It's going to a Power 2. Because that's the first domino. We'll get on that in a second. But that's the first domino that's going to happen. The news that came out late last week, of the ACC's response to Florida State's, you know, this has been back and forth with the filings going into where are we eventually going to see a courtroom drama? I've told you from the jump, I don't think we are. I think what we're going to get is what looked like, if you read between the lines and what the ACC said, they said that essentially Florida State leaving would be up for discussion, meaning the grant of rights that everyone originally predicted, the $585 million that everybody knows is way overpriced for the crappy ACC conference that did a backroom deal that didn't ask any of the schools to be present to hit that new deal with ESPN, that it was a crap deal. Well, essentially what they came out with last week was new wording, and if you read it, and there's a couple of columnists that pointed it out, if you read a couple of the specific paragraphs, and it's a long document, but basically you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. You can see a crack, an opening, where I don't think this thing ever gets to court, and I think it gets resolved sometime in the summer. I've been saying it all since back in August when this first started. When they first announced that they were going to, how did Florida State put that, they were going to reevaluate, and then when they did the big filing, the loss, the suit that they filed shortly after they got snubbed from the college football playoffs, and everyone who were on the outside looking in who do not understand what's going on with it, they assume they did it because they got snubbed from the playoffs. It was just the timing of it. They were filing that regardless because it had nothing to do with you got left out of the playoffs. It has to do with the overall money structure that the ACC commissioner agreed to. And if you miss this little nugget, it all looks like the reason why he agreed to it was to keep, this goes back several years. At the time, the ACC had a chance to move over to a much bigger network, and they wanted to keep the local, I believe it was Jefferson Pilot, but it might have been Raycom by then. They wanted to keep them in the fold because the commissioner of the ACC, his son, ran the damn broadcast company. And so that's why this whole thing is, I mean, it's getting juicy. This thing's more interesting than the Fannie Willis crap that's going on, where she's hiring people and sleeping with her assistants and saying that she had already been sleeping with them, but which one is worse, right? This thing is going to get just as juicy, and that's why I don't think it ever gets to court, because you don't want, the ACC doesn't want to be standing there having to answer questions that's going to raise even more questions, because someone's going to try to televise this. And if that goes down, everybody's dirty laundry comes out. And just like with the whole thing with the college football playoff snub, the last thing that anybody wants in that ACC room is to have full disclosure of all text messages and emails related to it. That, by the way, still isn't dead. Rick Scott that did his filing, wanting to see all the emails and text messages in the college football playoff committee, that thing's not dead yet. So we keep an eye on that. But the gist of what's going on, how I got to this talking about Rick Pitino, college football, college basketball, it's turning into a real SOB to be a coach. It's always been difficult. It's always been a difficult job. It's why they get paid the big bucks. It's not just because it's a difficult job to do. It's a difficult job to be very successful. But now it's turning into, I mean, it is the absolute wild, wild west. And I think what we're essentially going to see is two major power conferences. And we're going to see a couple of things. You can call them whatever they want, whatever you want. Right now, they're known as the Big Ten in the Southeastern Conference. But essentially, these are going to be mega conferences. And it's going to be the equivalent of the AFC and the NFC. Or the National League and the American League. There's just going to be a lot more teams on each side. And I think what you're going to end up with is somewhere between 25 to 30 in the next several years. And eventually you'll probably get close to 40 teams on each side. With a total of about somewhere between, we'll say 70. And the high end would be, the very high end would be 80. And you're going to end up with the teams squaring off in the playoffs. You'll probably have a 16-team playoff in the very near future. And eventually, what you're going to get, let's say you have a 16-team playoff, you're going to end up with, of those 16 teams allowed in, we'll say best case scenario for the little guy, only 12 come from the two power conferences. But I think more likely it's going to be 14. You're going to have two at-larges that will be coming from some fledgling conferences. And that's one of the reasons why programs like Florida State want the hell out of conferences like the ACC, because you can see the writing on the wall. It's been on the wall for quite some time, but Swofford and the ACC have been asleep at the damn wheel, and they were just willing, they were basically willing to sell everybody else's soul for just a little bit of hay right now, but long term they were going to set everybody back. Now, if you notice recently, North Carolina, a little more quietly, but they have started their own process of, basically, where Florida State was back in August, North Carolina popped up the other day and said, we're going to have to look at our options. That's the beginning of it. But I think there's a good chance this gets figured out. It may not be down to the dollar amount, but it essentially gets hammered out sometime this summer. And August 15th, remember, that's the big number. That's the big date. If Florida State or any team like North Carolina wants to declare, hey, we're out of here, we're going to another conference, the magical date is August 15th, because that is the date that if you do not declare by then you have to play the following year in said conference. So last year they missed it, but we kept an eye on it, because when the original thing with the ACC and Florida State broke out, what we saw was, okay, you have about 2.5 weeks till that deadline. And we thought maybe there was just going to be this just giant announcement that never happened. But little did we know that the giant announcement was going to happen in December. And that is setting the stage for an old-fashioned fist fight in the courts if they don't get something figured out. I think they're going to get something figured out. It won't be 585, but it also won't be the zero that Florida State's looking for. I don't know if it'll be exactly in the middle, but I think you could see somewhere around the $200 million mark they'd both be happy with. And realize something, if you're a Florida State fan or fan of whatever team this might affect you, it's not a $200 million buyout instantly. It's over several years. And that's something that you can absorb if you know you're going into another power conference. Which conference will they go to? Logically, and for the fans, the SEC sounds like the best move. But I do believe it ends up being the Big Ten, because I think the Big Ten is going to throw a lot of cash at Florida State to get them into the conference to expand their brand down in the Southeast. And if they get Florida State, there's a good chance after that they go out and get someone else. It could be a Clemson, you never know. But they're going to look at it as, hey, if we can start expanding our brand, we're already going out west, we're already grabbing Los Angeles, we've got Oregon, we've got Washington. Now if we can get the state of Florida, where do we go after that? Do they head somewhere like Clemson, or do they look at it as, Clemson's really, first of all, Clemson has been quiet as a mouse. Like they have been petrified. But I'm not positive. Even with the great success that Clemson football had for about, what, a 6-7 year period that appears to be long time gone now. I'm not convinced that they are worth the investment because they're in a very lightly populated area. And unless the Big Ten just wants to do it to expand into SEC country, I don't know what the advantage is. With them adding Florida State, it's a much bigger brand. I think what they would love to do is add Florida State and North Carolina. I've just got a feeling North Carolina's heading to the SEC. SEC does not have the state of North Carolina, and that would be huge for them to grab North Carolina. Now, could they possibly grab North Carolina and Florida State? Possibly, but for years and years and years, the Bermuda Triangle has blocked Florida State's entrance, and they would probably continue to do that. Meaning, where Tallahassee, Florida sits, they are in the middle of a triangle of Gainesville, Athens, Georgia, and Tuscaloosa. And those three schools have always blocked them. But take that with a grain of salt. Who the hell knows? I just know that I've been right on this so far, so we'll see if it continues. With that being said, we are going to be starting a single show. It'll be a short show up on Braves Country Radio. It'll be coming your way fairly regularly for you Florida State fans, Noel Nation, and we will continue to chop it up a little bit and put it right here on the Daily Braves Country Today show for those who may miss it. And for you non-Florida State fans, it's like 15 minutes. Get over it. The other thing would be a couple other things want to hit up before we get out of here on a football Friday. Okay. First of all, we don't have time to get into the an interview with Alex Anthopoulos. So we're going to do that next week because I want to give it its full attention. But it was a really good interview, and I promise you next week we'll bring it to you. Look forward to that. But the thing that I do want to get into that is just unbelievable, Anthony Rendon was being asked by his media, his local media, the Angels. Some of you may have sat there and wondered for a half second, where the hell is Anthony Rendon play? You know why? Because he's hardly played. He's hardly played at all over the last several years. He won the championship with Washington and was every bit the big reason why they did win. And I won't take that away from him. But since then, he is going into what will be his, fifth season? Fifth season with the Los Angeles Angels. So he's played 4 years. But one of them was 2020 COVID. So throw that one out the window because he did play 52 of the 60 games that year. So you can't kill him for that. So let's focus on 2021, 22, and 23, which were all 162 game seasons. He's played a total of 58, 47, and 43. 158 games in those three seasons. Meaning he has missed over two full seasons. And oh, by the way, in those time periods, his OPS has been trash. 712, 706, 678. So in what was essentially almost an entire regular season, this is the guy that they brought in big dollars, more on that in a second. He's hit 13 home runs in that one regular season. 13! When they signed him, he was a guy that was hitting into the mid-20s, early 30s. He has, 80 RBI in that full season that we're giving him credit for the last 3 years? 80 RBI. When they signed him after the 2019 championship season of the Washington Nationals, he had 126 RBIs. The year before that, 92, 100, 85. So you get my drift. He's been a shell of his former self. All right, it happens. Guys fall off the ledge. They get older. They can't stay healthy. But do you remember last year when he got into it with the Oakland fan coming out of the game and he took like a swipe at him? He missed, but he did take a swipe at the Oakland fan after he grabbed after he grabbed the Oakland fan's jacket leaving the stadium. If you haven't seen it, you can find it anywhere. Anyways, and he was a real jackass about it. I still say that fan should have leaned into it, man. Get clocked and get your paycheck, buddy. So you already know he's kind of a jerk. Not kind of. He is a jerk. Well, here's the latest thing on Anthony Rendon. Now, you understand, this is a guy that signed a year, $245 million contract. 7 year, $245 million contract. And he's about to start year five. They've got nothing out of him. First year, you can't blame him. It was COVID. The team sucked. But outside of that, he's played sparingly. So he's already a jerk. We've laid that out. And the latest thing is he comes into spring training the other day. First time he talks to the media, and there's some young kid reporter talking to him. The short of it is, without getting into the whole thing, because the soundbite itself, you can barely hear the audio, so that's why we didn't grab it. But he told the reporter how he doesn't want to be there, meaning he goes, you know, you think I want to be here at 7 in the morning talking to y'all? And the reporter asked back, well, do you want to be here? Do you want to be an angel? And he said, I'm here, aren't I? And that's pretty much all he gave him was, I'm here. It's a job. But the other kicker was he made sure that the reporter know that this being an angel, being a professional baseball player, making seven year, $245 million, that's not a priority in his life. Because he tried to play the sad song of, well, it was, no, it's a family first, and then... I don't remember how he ranked it, but he was like two or three things above being an angel. He goes, and this is just a job. He made it very clear that it was important on how the Angels did, because it was just a job. That's our jackass of the week, Anthony Rendon. We're bringing that back. Anthony Rendon has brought back the jackass of the week. That is a full-blown jackass. Fans who, look, they're already dealing with the fact, I'm talking about Angel fans, they're already dealing with the fact that Shohei Ohtani didn't want to stick it out and be there. They're already dealing with the fact that they asked Mike Trout if he wants to spend the rest of his career there, and Trout said the right things, though he is frustrated about the fact that they're not winning, that they're not committing to win, but he did say the right thing and said, I'm a man of my word, and if I sign up to play, you're not going to have me... His exact words was, I'm not going to take the easy way out. Now, I think what he's really saying there, if you look past everything, is that would I accept a trade to a contender? You're damn right. But I agreed to play for this team. I think he also knows the logic behind it, how difficult it would be to trade Mike Trout because of the money. When you're Mike Trout, you sign a 12-year, $426 million contract. By the way, $20 million signing bonus. But $426 million contract, and you're Mike Trout. You can't complain about your team not winning because you took the majority of the money. That's just under $40 million a year. And at the same token, if you're Anthony Rendon and you take seven for $245, you can't complain either. And the fans don't want to hear how it's not a priority that they win. When he signed with the Angels, even though he was leaving the Nationals, I liked Anthony Rendon. I was impressed by him. And then everything he's done since he's gotten that money in his bank, he has just been a just awful human being. Jackass of the week, Anthony Rendon. Y'all have a great weekend, y'all. We'll have some actual football to talk about here in the very near future as the UFL is coming back. Ooh. But hey, spring training baseball starts this weekend. Let's get it.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please?
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.